Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Facility and Property Management Secrets Radio. I'm your host, Javier Lozano Jr. with CMI Mechanical. We are a national HVAC and refrigeration company, and I've got an amazing guest today. He is the president and CEO of Brandpoint Services. This is Steve Herron, correct?
Correct, except that I'm no longer the CEO, only president, since merging with Legacy Retail Services back in April.
We doubled
the size of the company, and my partner now is the CEO, and I'm the president.
Okay, so fair enough. I apologize.
No worries.
Steve's the president of Brandpoint Services, and we basically connected via Connects, which is kind of, you know, ironic. On the community site, I put some information out there that I wanted to interview some vendors that are out there that want to contribute to the facility management industry. And Steve was one of the first people to basically get back to me and was really intrigued. And so Steve is going to be sharing kind of a little bit more about the industry, his knowledge about Brandpoint Services, and just kind of, you know, what's going on in the facility management world, if you will. So Steve, again, I appreciate your time. I know that you're very busy with what you're doing. So thank you again for your time.
Well, Javier, it's my pleasure. And I think it's really cool what you're doing. You know, you seem to be an innovator. It's not like it's new technology, but it's being brought into a space where we're not used to utilizing it. And I just thought it was a really neat thing. I'm big on listening to podcasts. Obviously, I love to be able to throw something on in the car that's an alternative to the radio.
Yep.
And especially if it has to do with audiobook or education. I just thought it was a really neat opportunity to try something like this and see how it translates. So thank you for including me.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. You know, I know we have some kind of things I want to kind of discuss with you, but you kind of hit something that I think is really critical. So you listen to podcasts and audiobooks probably when you're driving, am I correct?
Yes.
How come? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I spend a lot of time behind the wheel. And so don't get me wrong. I love to listen to music to relax. But I have found that it gets harder and harder to read. Once I had children,
yeah,
I used to be able to sit on the beach and just read and read and read and read and read and read. I could read a 1,000-page book on a vacation, right?
Nice.
And now, once the children came along, and mine are now 14 and 13,
okay,
it was, Daddy, entertain me. Daddy, let's have a catch. Let's go swimming. Let's do this. Let's do that. And, of course, I'd much rather engage with them than sit and read a book. But I love to read. I'm a passionate, voracious reader.
Yeah.
And so I found that audiobooks gave me an opportunity to absorb a book in some different settings.
That's awesome. You know, I do the same thing myself. That's why I asked, because I feel like a lot of senior leadership are doing those sort of things where they're leveraging their time where they can't really do anything other than listen to sports radio or music. And they're listening to podcasts. And podcasts are huge, which is one of the things why I'm doing this. But I'm a big believer in audiobooks. I mean, for myself, I'm an auditory learner. And I absorb a lot of information that way versus me sitting down reading books. So it's really cool to hear that you love this kind of format.
I really do. And there's more and more good podcasts. It seems like this year has been a big year in moving podcasting forward.
Yeah.
Where instead of a handful of people you may have heard of, we're doing podcasts now. There's a podcast on just about any subject you can think of now, yep, if not multiple podcasts.
Yep.
And I'm not saying everybody's doing it well, but the fact that they're out there doing it, honing it and refining it. And again, I think it's so cool that you're bringing that into this space. I don't really see a downside.
Cool. That's awesome. I appreciate that. So I'm going to kind of jump in some of our questions now. How long have you been with Brandpoint Services?
So I started with Brandpoint Services in January of 2012. So I guess that will be 9 years in a month, which I can't believe it's flown by.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome. And what brought you to Brandpoint? I mean, what were you doing before that?
I was serving as the vice president of franchise development for a company called CertaPro Painters. I had been doing that for 7 years.
Okay.
And Brandpoint actually started as the commercial division of CertaPro Painters.
You're kidding.
So CertaPro is actually set up as a franchise model.
Okay.
And as a result, the local operators did not have the rights to go outside of their local territories to service clients.
Yep.
And so the parent company stepped in and said, well, We want to be able to have people move town to town to service a large footprint national chain. And we want to be able to execute those seamlessly. So we need a neutral party to kind of step outside, be the client advocate, represent the client on a national level, and push the work through the system as it made the most sense to do to provide the best possible service to the client. So that became Certa Services, Inc. And as you've probably experienced in your world, when you do a good job for a client, they ask you what else you do. And so you obviously want to try to expand that suite of services within your comfort zone as much as possible, so you're still delivering a high value to the client.
Yeah.
And so we started getting asked more and more, well, if you're painting, can you do the ceiling grid? Can you do the floors? What else can you do? And we just dabbled more and more into other services, and that led us to eventually spinning out of CertaPro, rebranding as BrandPoint, and becoming a full-service GC on a national basis.
No kidding. Now, just out of curiosity, was it pretty tough to essentially start a new company, if you will? Because that's what you did with BrandPoint. Because you guys, CertaPro is like spot on the residential. They kill it. I hear their commercials all the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're going, commercial, which is, it's a completely different messaging.
It was a very big and scary leap because you're walking away from that brand recognition that you talk about with CertaPro.
Yeah.
If you want to watch the Flyers game tonight in Philadelphia, you're going to see a CertaPro banner hanging behind the Flyers bench.
Nice.
You're going to see billboards in every major city in North America. You're going to hear radio ads, TV commercials. It's a tremendous amount of brand equity that we walked away from. And it actually hurt us. For a few years, we struggled because we lost our identity as the best painters in North America. Of course, in our opinion, lost our identity and really put focus into fighting to get that back and focused on the painting business for several years and establishing our own credibility in painting. It was very challenging. My first 3 years as president were the three of the toughest years of my career.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it really took. And to be fair, think about the years it was too. It was 12, 13. We were this industry was still struggling from the residual effects of that last recession.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you were probably getting the tail end of it, but still, retail was not spending tons of money.
No, it was tough. But once we kind of the tipping point came, I think in 14, and we really gained momentum and this one success builds on the next. And then you get further away from that CertaPro brand and you really focus on building the BrandPoint brand that is far beyond just a painter. And that was then all of a sudden, you go through trying to establish your credibility in one trade and trying to be identified as among the best, if not the best in that trade. When you start to expand outside of that, then that becomes difficult because people go, well, you're just you guys are the painters. Am I really going to trust you to build my store? And so then you have to fight against that, right? And then, yeah, we could do other things too. And some of the core basics are the same. And so it's been an interesting evolution, if you will.
That's cool. I didn't know that. That's amazing. And so just out of curiosity, what was like the turning point whenever you guys did you see the turning point where you're like, all right, we now have got our why or our message or whatever that is, and then all of a sudden you guys were just like you start growing from there.
It's funny that you hit the why, because that was something I pulled my management team together as we were really looking to advance the company and get back into growth mode, and finding our why was a big part of it as a team. And we went through a lot of discussion, a lot of talk, and kind of came down to our why. What motivates and drives us as a management team, as a leadership team, is to improve.
Yep.
Improving is one of our core values. And so how can we take, continuous improvement? We always want to take something that we're working on and do it better the next time. We also improve spaces, right? So we go into a space, we want to improve that space for our client, for our client's clients. And so how can we rally around that? We improve. We improve everything we touch. We improve the worlds of our clients, the worlds of our employees, the worlds of our constituents. Improve, improve. That became our rallying cry and our mantra. And that was then easy to take out besides painting, right? Of course, improving the space, it might need paint, it might need carpet, it might need a whole new look. If we have to build a complete space out. We're still improving that space, and we just kept expanding on that notion of improvement.
That's awesome. It seems to me you guys are, I mean, obviously you're a service-based company, but you really took it to the next level, not just service, but you're serving,
Yes.
And you're taking this service-based leadership, if you will, to the next level, creating a customer experience, making the experience, like from the very beginning, not just your customer, but their customer experience. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is something that not all, but some companies are missing to get to that next level of growth, if you will, is they're not taking the customer experience from literally conception to the very end and beyond.
Well, and are you familiar with Net Promoter Score?
Yes.
Okay, so that's something else that we adopted right about at that time, and we brought that over from CertaPro. I must give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, yeah.
The residential world's very focused on NPR, if you will. And so we brought that over into the commercial space, and it's difficult because if you have your house painted, it's very easy to call you and say, Javier, how was that experience for you? You had your house painted. You might say, well, my wife or was responsible for it, or, oh, I was responsible for this part, my wife was responsible for that part. But there's generally one or two people that we have to find out how their experience was.
Yep.
Well, in our world, as you know, when I provide a refresh project or a maintenance issue, addressing a maintenance issue for one of our clients who might be a mall-based retailer.
Yep.
Well, who all is affected? Well, the store itself and the employees in that store, and there could be a manager, an assistant manager, and several other people that are affected. Then you have the people at World Headquarters who dispatched us, and their idea of how did that go is often quite different than the folks in the store's idea of how it went.
That makes sense.
We might deliver a perfect project in the store, but if we didn't communicate effectively to World Headquarters, they think it was terrible.
Yep.
And vice versa. We might do a so-so job in the store, but if they didn't complain and it was no headache for World Headquarters, World Headquarters thinks it was great. And we didn't find out until we called as the Net Promoter Surveyors that in the store, no, we didn't really think it was great. We just didn't complain about it.
That's interesting. I love that approach. Very proactive as opposed to reactive, sitting back like, oh gosh, what do we do? But the other part that I love is that you hit something that's really key that I'm noticing in this industry is the communication part. I feel like, a lot of businesses lost just strictly on communication. That's it.
It's the thing we hear the most without a doubt. I'm sure you do too. Yeah. Oh, I mean,
it is crazy.
And we pound it and pound it and pound it, within our teams, and pound seems like such a violent word, but we reinforce it.
No, I got you.
We really try to help our team members understand that when that client doesn't have the information they want, it creates so much anxiety.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing worse than the unknown, and they'd rather know the bad news than it be good news and they don't know it. They want to know, and they don't want to be left vulnerable among their peers and their constituents to that somebody's going to ambush them and say, oh, your lousy flooring project in store number 2207 is affecting sales and operations. And they're like, what are you talking about? They want to be able to say, I am aware of it, and here's my plan to fix it. Right?
Yep. Provide a solution to any problem that they may have. I mean, that's huge. I love it. So, you've been in the industry for quite a while then. What is it that you enjoy about the industry? I mean, facility management is, I didn't know anything about the industry until I actually entered HVAC industry. And the more I learned about it, I'm like, this is nuts.
And I'll tell you what, Javier, we should talk about that a little bit. I do want to answer your specific question, but you just hit on something that is I'm working on right now with Connects. I'm actually running for the board for Connects right now, and one of my kind of platform items is that issue. And that is that there are tremendous opportunities out there for young, talented people that have no idea about our space.
Yep.
They're going to college right now and getting a great education in engineering or project management or business development, or they're out there getting an education, and they're going to come out into the world and apply for jobs, and they have no idea that our space exists where they could come and work for some of the biggest brands in the world and work in an area that they it never even occurs to them that those brands have entire divisions dedicated to facility management.
Yeah.
And it's fast paced. You talk about the things that young people want: fast paced, exciting, problem solving, travel. You got all these cool elements about what we do. People, you know, no day's the same. No 2 days are the same.
Yep.
Multitasking, you know, the things that you would think a college student would list is all the things that they, you know, want to get out of their career. And we have it to offer and nobody knows about it. And we've got to do a better job as an industry to make young people aware that this is a great opportunity for them. And I wish I could say those are the reasons I got into this, but I didn't. I fell into it because the guys, my partners at Certa Pro said, hey, there's an opportunity and we think you're the right guy for it. And so, okay, I'll give this a try. But now looking back 9 years, this 9 years has flown by.
Yeah.
The people I have met in this industry have made it a pleasure. The fast-paced nature of it, the problem solving that's continuous, and the fact that technology is only just creeping into our space. It really is at its infancy. There's so much more that can be done with technology.
Oh, man, you hit so many things that I totally agree with. I mean, it's the technology portion of it drives me up the wall that it's not as big as what it should be, because every other industry is leveraging all this technology. And I look at us and I'm like, what is going on? Like, we're 15 years behind, you know?
At least.
Exactly. And it drives me up the wall because, you know, I use a lot of technology to win business for marketing and for sales. Like, I do a ton and it's working. And you know, this is not a knock on anybody, but people in our office is like, how are you doing this? I'm like, I just automate stuff. Like, I just work smarter, not harder, you know? And it's like, it's really easy to do this stuff, guys. Like, there's, it's not rocket science. It's just pulling something out and then making it work, you know?
Yeah.
And so I agree with you. Like, I want to see this space start getting some more technology involved. And I got a question. And the reason I'm asking this is because I'm going to be speaking about this at one point. Do you feel as though entrepreneurship, because you kind of have that little role, if you will, yourself, is like a good, like facility management and entrepreneurship are kind of equal. Do you, like, I personally feel like they are kind of the same because you've got to be very creative. I mean, I ran a business for 11 years and you have to be on a different scale to think. And I feel as though entrepreneurship and facility management are almost kind of like one and the same in a sense, because a facility manager has so much to deal with.
If you, well, first of all, entrepreneurship is probably the single biggest thing that's driven me throughout my career. You know, I started out, the reason I ended up with Certa Pro Painters is because I owned a college pro painters franchise in college.
Nice.
You know, I studied business in college. I loved everything about the world of business and particularly the ownership side.
Yep.
And why? It gives you independence. It gives you ability to innovate. It gives you ability to build something. And it gives you a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
And I think that anybody, especially in a role like yours, you know, on the business development side, has to think like an entrepreneur. You really are running your own business out there, building your own business out there. Yeah. And the perfect world for somebody, you, I would assume, is hooking in with a company that allows and breeds that entrepreneurship so that you can be innovative and creative and take things to the next level. That's the most satisfying thing you can have, right?
I agree. No, that's great. I love it.